it's rare, but you, I think tonight for us to be in the book of Isaiah would almost be a sin. Isn't that weird? In light of what happened last night, we're going to pray, we're going to talk about it, we're going to look at some things, but we need to give God the glory. Pretty amazing. I'm going to ask you tonight to grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea. Hosea tonight, chapter 12, and we'll get back to worship here pretty soon. Tonight needs to be a night of thanksgiving to God and praise, and I want to give you a little bit more as to why. Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. Park right there for a moment. Hosea 12, 10. And guys, can you put up on the screen? Tonight has not been choreographed whatsoever. Not that anything ever is around here, but can you guys put the Tozer quote on the screen? Sean, it's the one I gave you earlier. Yeah, can you guys follow along with me on this? Tozer said, "The church has surrendered her once lofty concept of God and has substituted for it one so low, so ignoble, as to be utterly unworthy of thinking. Worshipping men, this she has not done deliberately, but little by little, and without her knowledge and her very unawareness, makes her situation all the more tragic." Tozer goes on. "The decline of the knowledge of the holy has brought on our troubles. A rediscovery of the majesty of God will go a long way toward curing them." He goes on. "If we would bring back spiritual power to our lives, we must begin to think of God more nearly as He is. Our view of God determines the quality of our faith. A small view of God results in a small faith. But great faith is the result of a correct biblical view of God as one who is great and worthy of our trust." Church, tonight, we're going to look at some scriptures, we'll make some comments, and then I want to remind you about the genesis and the conclusion that was brought about last night and what it means for us today, for the church. Hosea 12:10 says, "I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets." God says, "I speak." And when I speak, I use similitudes and types. I use visions and I use similitudes or typology. God says, when I want to communicate something, some of your more newer translations in a modern vernacular might have the word parables. "I'll speak in parables," God says, "and I'll speak in things that are easy for you to understand for your culture, for your age." God uses types, He says. Now, if you would turn to Isaiah 44, turn to Isaiah 44 in your Bibles. Listen to this. Isaiah 44, verse 24. "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and He who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives diviners or mediums mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness." Remember that tonight. "Who confirms the word of His servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, you shall be inhabited, to the cities of Judah, you shall be built. And I will raise up her waste places. He says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up the rivers. Listen, verse 28. Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple, your foundation shall be laid. The interesting thing is, Cyrus, this prophecy of Cyrus was 150 years before he was even born. Isaiah 45, verse 1. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, this is to Nebuchadnezzar, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. One more verse, Psalm 75, 7. But God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. God says he does this. This is the power of God. We want God to move quick. We want God to move in our time zone. Now, fast, when something arises, we want God to show up in a very prompt and expeditious way. And yet God doesn't do that. God moves in his time. And I'll admit with you and confess to you that it's often frustrating. To the Lord who dwells in eternity, a day as with him is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years to God is as one day. What does that mean? It means he doesn't count 1,000 years or days. It means where he lives, how he lives, is in the eternal now. The Bible says that God knows all things in advance. He's sovereign. That is true, no doubt about it. But you and I do not have the eternal perspective. We're not eternal. You and I live on a timeline. We're subject to time. It grips us. God's outside of time. And yet God is sovereign. You and I, we may have a God-appointed or given sovereignty that's of man, meaning you will have for dinner tonight what you choose, and you'll go tomorrow where you will. But our sovereignty is obviously not like God's, because his is based on eternal things. And so God, in his sovereignty, has placed you and I in a nation that is quite amazing, because it requires of those who dwell in the republic as ours to think. God expects us to execute this government of ours with wisdom and with responsibility. And yet those attributes are fleeing from our culture today. We've got people in the streets of America tonight rioting because things didn't go their way. What's tragic about that is that that's all they know, because they know not God. They have no sovereign God that presides over them. They don't know him yet, or at all. They're lost. The election went last night a certain way. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Guess what? If it would have gone another way, where would you have been tonight? Exactly, right here. Why? Because our God's sovereign. Our God is God. He raises up kings and he takes kings down. He takes the operations of man and he frustrates them. He doesn't do what I want done. He doesn't listen to your counsel or mine. In his sovereignty, he allows us to pray and to call out to him. And he turns right around, and in his sovereignty, which you and I will never know, just don't even think about it. You'll never be able to explain it. In his plan, he reserves the right for nations like Nineveh who are condemned. In his condemnation of them, he builds in this opportunity of repentance. Nineveh prays and repents, asks God for mercy, and against the will of Jonah, God gives mercy. And Nineveh is spared 40 years. I told you on October 30th, this election had nothing to do with Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. You sat in this sanctuary and we showed you how you as a Christian, educated, using your brain and listening to the Holy Spirit, the vote for you was so simple because you did not get caught up in the personality cults of the candidates or their bombacity or their criminal acts. You didn't go there. You looked at what the Bible had to say. We extracted five biblical topics that God cares about. And we applied those things to the vote. And this nation has been praying. You've been praying here tomorrow. Not tomorrow. Oh yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow ends 40 days of prayer and fasting here in this church. But look, we weren't the only ones. There were churches across America doing this. There were individuals that felt compelled by God to do this. Before the election yesterday morning, I was asked by someone, hey, how you doing? How you feeling? How you think it's going to go? And I said, honestly, I have no clue how it's going to go, but you need to hear me when I say this. We've prayed. We've done exactly what we were supposed to do. We stand before God completely hands clean and clear because we obeyed him. And that act of obedience by us brought upon us, upon you, upon me, great peace. The result didn't matter because I was willing to accept the result because my God is sovereign. I did what he told me to do. You did what he told you to do. And no matter what the outcome, no matter what the polls, no matter what the news reports were saying, we followed our God. And The outcome was not the determining factor. Obedience to him was the determining factor. And we're free. And so I was, as the night began and watching like you probably did, connecting with friends in Washington and in various places, began to see something happening. And I can tell you right now that just talking with a particular brother last night, you'll probably be able to figure out who he is, was right there. And the comments that are coming back to me, this is amazing. Not sure we thought we saw this happening, didn't think we'd see this coming. And when you begin to look at things, and I had so much data tonight, and I just wound up deciding we're going to look at that some other day. As we consider tonight some things, guys, I want to remind, if nobody was here, guys, can we put the five things? We'll go up with number one. In what I was alluding to a moment ago, if you were not here, you guys, the Bible's very clear about this issue. You guys are sick and tired of seeing this right now, but you won't see it anymore until 4 years from now. But what we did was, as believers, as Christians, we took on, what is the Christian vote? We asked ourselves that question, what is it? And the results have been made clear. Number one, we didn't get caught up in Hillary or Donald because the issue was the platform of the parties. That's key. Every one of us tonight ought to be able to explain and defend why we took our religious commitments and our faith in Christ and assigned it to a particular party and then exercised our God-given opportunity and to honor the veterans, for example, that are here tonight and those who are memorialized, who gave their lives for us. We honor their blood by voting. It's a sacred trust. It's an act by the believer. So we looked at what the Bible had to say. We looked at cultural issues taking place regarding abortion. And we looked at the platform, and it was a hands down, not even a moment to think about. The Republican Party was and is pro-life. So we looked at that, and we voted accordingly. Number two, we understood that the Bible, irregardless of our feelings or our opinions or the trend or what's trending on Twitter, the Bible says that natural marriage is what God has created. And it just so happens science and biology and chemistry backs all that up. So we decided to divorce ourselves from our feelings and do what God says is right. And so somebody had enough chutzpah in the Republican Party platform to put that in there. And so I took my biblical obedience and applied it to the Bible and to my vote. And you did the same thing. And we looked at biblical issue number three. That God's very, very clear, especially in these last days, regarding Israel and the Jew having his right to exist in his own land, his promised land that God promised them. And so we looked at the two parties, and it was another slam dunk. It was very simple because the Republican Party is very clear on this issue. So we voted. So far, three issues, completely honoring to God, irrespectful of Hillary or Donald. This is, if Jesus was here tonight, or last night voting, he would have voted for those three things. Why? Because he put them in his Bible. He didn't go like this to feel the wind. He didn't call CNN or Fox. He didn't take a poll. He didn't call anybody. These are eternal truths. Like it or not, these are eternal truths. And then we're going to be reminded of two more, actually, eternal truths that we often forget. Number four is natural law. Natural law teaches us why there's a Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is your right to protect yourself when you're in danger. God has ordained this in every human being all around the world since Adam and Eve were born. You can try to explain it away and try to be theoretical about it, but if somebody comes up and tries to kill your husband or your wife or your child, any decent human being would take out that assailant to whatever point necessary. If you've ever loved, you know exactly what I mean. And so our founding fathers recognized we can make it illegal to bear arms. But people are going to use rocks. If we make rocks illegal, they're going to use sticks. If they make sticks illegal, they'll just choke each other to death. Right? Why did the founding fathers put that as the Second Amendment? Because the First Amendment is also a natural law. It means a man, a woman will speak their mind. You can't shut people up. Free speech. You can put people in a communist country where there's no speech. Guess what they do? They wind up in jail. Because God put it within you to express your independent opinion. Okay, which the rioters out in the streets of America tonight could care less about the First Amendment. because they don't want to hear the voice of anyone else who disagrees with them. But they're a byproduct of our college campus today and modern education, sad to say. It's a fact. They can't cope. They can't cope with reality. Freedom of speech. It's either for everybody or it's not. Our founders realized everyone's going to speak their mind. And so is the Second Amendment. People will protect themselves against danger. The two parties were 100% opposite on this issue. One party recognized natural law, the other one did not. It's funny because the people who are against natural law and the Second Amendment, running for office and in the halls of power in America today, all have armed guards. Number five is religious liberty, which is, of course, if you know anything about world history, is the antithesis of tyranny. I'm pausing for effect. Religious liberty is the antithesis of tyranny to tyranny. You say, are you sure you got that right? Oh, I got it right, all right. Let me change it up a little bit to show you how incredibly true religious liberty is to being the antithesis of tyranny is atheism. Atheism, atheistic liberty is not the antithesis of tyranny. Atheism is probably the greatest foundation for tyranny. Religious liberty empowers someone to believe anything they want to believe. In a nation that exercises religious liberty, as our nation does, you're free to be an atheist in a country that upholds religious liberty. Did you know that? But atheists cannot handle you believing in anything else but atheism. That's tyranny. Well, there were a lot of winners last night, contrary to what people are saying on the news. And one of the great winners last night is the Constitution of the United States. There's no doubt about it. An unbelievable document still to this day that scholars have said there's never been. Still to this day, there's never been 56 individuals in one room working on the same project of a level of genius that brought forth an inspired document than those founders regarding the Constitution. It is the longest document governing a nation in human history. 1,500 scripture references, scripture/reference scriptures were used by Thomas Jefferson from John Locke's Treaty on Government. It was found and founded in the Judeo-Christian worldview from the scriptures. So, tonight, you guys, before we thank God, what happened last night has not only completely shocked the Republican and Democrat parties, it has completely shocked, in today's news, the European Union. It has completely shocked the Russian Federation. China has already this day expressed bewilderment. Japan, New Zealand is in a fit. India is rejoicing over the election. The United Nations is silent. But perhaps the most pleasant shocker of them all was for us to learn today that Israel not only was celebrating Trump's victory, but did you know that before the election was called and all day that day, Israel, there were mass prayer meetings in Israel taking place for America. That's amazing. One last slide for tonight, you guys, is the Daily Mail out of the UK. Trump invites Netanyahu to the U.S. at the first possible opportunity. That's a far cry. That was biblical vote issue number three, far cry from what we saw in 2008 and 2012, the exact opposite. And by the way, their communication together by phone, those two, President-elect and Prime Minister Netanyahu, first conversations by phone together outside of any other international leader. That's a good sign, ladies and gentlemen. That's very good. It's a very, very good day when you read in some national security publications online that China and North Korea, their militaries are upset with what the U.S. might do. Listen, for 8 years, no country has been afraid of what the U.S. might do. And that's why the country is the most destabilized place right now. Or I should say the world is the most destabilized place right now, because when there's no one to keep the peace, the crazies come out of the woodwork, and the world is unstable. Wherever there's weakness, there's danger. Joining the ranks this afternoon among the upsets is absolutely Iran. You can read Iran's statement right after the election. They said, "We want to remind America that the nuclear treaty was drawn up and approved by the UN. They're pointing nuclear weapons at Israel, but they want to make sure that America gets the memo. Even though Obama did this for us, the UN's going to cover it. We're okay." Why are they so nervous now? Because they may not get the chance to nuke Israel as early as they had hoped. Pretty amazing. Of course, today, ISIS said, "We're not going to listen to Donald Trump." That's exactly the kind of response you want to get from ISIS. Maybe you've seen the news. It's now been called, if you know your news, you know what Brexit is, anybody? Okay, if you don't know what Brexit is, the European Union is an absolute shambles. The European Union cannot govern itself out of a bag. And it's the European Union that decided, hey, let's take all these refugees, even though they're 87% of them are 16 to 35-year-old military-aged men. Let's bring them into our country and let them come into homes, and we'll sponsor those homes. Can you imagine that? We will give European homes, you know, like $1,000 a month to bring in this 21-year-old undocumented individual, male, into your home, and good luck and fantastic. Did you know that's what they're doing? And it has been an absolute disaster. And England, which is an island, said, you know what? It's not going well over there on the mainland. In fact, not only is it not going well with the immigration issue, Islam is really shaking things up with terrorism, and we're not going to draw our borders as being in the Union. We're going to draw our borders now around the island, because we've got to protect the Brits. We've got to protect our own land. And did you know that the European Union chastised England for thinking like that, that the English government would protect the English people? No, don't laugh. It's a fact. And they were mocked and ridiculed. And do you know who mocked and mocked them to the point it was shameless? It was Barack Obama. How dare, he was saying, how dare the British keep out the suffering world? Look, if there were moms and ladies and grandmas and kids as refugees, then bring them in. I get it. But where are they? And I challenge you tonight. Listen, all of you tonight, go home tonight. Google pictures of immigrants coming into Europe. Just do it. I've already done it 1,000 times. I already know what you're going to see. You do it. Count the women and count the men from 16 to 35 years of age. And I don't know why they have to cover their faces when they're coming into France or Belgium. Why do they have to cover their face? They should be excited, right? Interesting. You say, well, you're making this up. Go ahead and look. Isn't it interesting that some of the terrorist acts have already been committed by refugees that have come? Not all refugees are bad, but there's enough bad ones to make it dangerous. So Brits said, this is not good. So they went against the world tide, and countries said, we're going to boycott British products then. And Britain said, what good is our nation being blown up? We can't sell products if we don't exist anymore. So we're gonna shut it down. And Brexit is British exit. Britain, England, left the European Union. And they're doing fine. They're doing fine. You guys, it's called right now Brexit America. America, you say, what does that mean? It means, listen, we were heading down for 8 years a path of globalism. Wholesale. Did you know that the policies of Hillary Clinton were much more aggressive in globalism than even Barack Obama's? If she would have been elected, literally, as a globalist, it would have been the final coffin, nail in the coffin for United States constitutional independence. It was her commitment. Something happened to stop that. Globalists around the world tonight are very angry and very upset, and they own most of the papers. That's why you're seeing headlines like you are, but they're very confused. Confused is what everybody is right now, too, I might add. Like Donald Trump or not, it's irrelevant because God has appointed him, because our God's sovereign. No political experience. Listen, I'm not going to do what you think I'm doing right now. No political experience. Never held office before. To become president would have to best America's best. Brilliant communicators and smarty pants like Marco Rubio, great guy. My buddy who I endorsed, Ted Cruz. He'd have to just go down. There's no way. There's no way that this loudmouth buffoon's going to be able to pull this off. Nobody took him seriously. I don't even think Donald Trump took himself seriously. But not only did he survive that, which is weird, the Republican Party didn't want him. The Democrat Party didn't want him. The Tea Party didn't want him. Nobody wanted him. Okay, here's the deal. He had to not only go through all that stuff, and don't think what you're thinking, because you're thinking wrong. I'm not building him up. Watch. He had to, in these last 2 months, Donald Trump had to campaign against Joe Biden. He had to campaign against Bill Clinton. He was campaigning against Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. They were all on the campaign trail for him. By the way, you and I were paying for Barack Obama and Bill and Joe Biden to campaign against Donald Trump. Did you know that? You and I paid for that. So check this out. The world tonight, including the United States, is completely confused, and for good reason. Who won the majority of the Hispanic vote last night? Hillary did. Who won the majority of the black vote last night? Hillary did. Who won the majority of female vote last night? Hillary did. Who won the majority vote of college-educated people? Hillary did. The only group that Trump won that we can now see at this hour is he won the non-degreed white male worker. That's who he won. That's who voted for him. Here's the problem. Or not the problem. Here's what adds to the confusion. There's not enough of them. to have him be the president tonight. And yet he's the president. Well, fraud. No, it wasn't fraud. It wasn't that. Here's the deal. 28%, listen to the details. 28, as of this hour, 28%. 28% out of the 100% people who voted, 28% of them said that they were, listen, evangelical or believers. Listen, well, listen, wait. 28% of them said that they were believers. Number one, if that's true, it is the largest evangelical turnout vote, I think, since 1928. Okay, now watch. Which is shows you a complete difference of what happened in 08 and 12. Christians didn't vote in 8 and 12. Some, most. But out of the claiming out of the 28%, I forget what the percentage is, but it takes it down to, you can do the math. It takes you down to 21, almost 22% of that 28. 21% voted for Trump. Not all 28 voted for Trump. 22% of them voted for Trump. We now know tonight. So that takes that number of white working males, non-degreed, down even smaller. Are you with me? But he won. He not only won, he won states that were so certainly Hillary's that she didn't even campaign in those states because her ground troops, her ground people said, you don't even have to come. You're so strong here. They love you. You don't even have to campaign in these states. But he did. So what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God is sovereign, and he always invites his people to pray. God heard the prayers of his people because there's no other explanation. Number two, the people who prayed apparently also got up off their knees and went and voted. God is sovereign, but he invites you to get involved. Listen, this is key. What happened? The reason why Fox and CNN, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, James Carville, Rush Limbaugh, Charles Krauthammer, none of them figured it out. Only one guy did, by the way. I don't know if you know who he is. He's actually been here before. Dennis Prager had this figured out from the beginning. Okay, it's weird. It's weird. But everybody missed it. Everybody missed it. People were in shock. They lost their... They're freaking out. Why? What happened? Because God literally... Ladies and gentlemen, you should mark your calendars. Especially you young people. I'm old enough, I watched something of this magnitude happen in 1980 when Ronald Reagan won in America. But here's the deal. Even the people who hated Ronald Reagan loved him. Ronald Reagan was amazing. He had amazing skills, amazing. He's amazing. Okay? And he was so famous to begin with. And he was a good guy. He had some things that he wound up becoming more conservative about over years. But he was Ronald Reagan. He won big. Trump didn't win as many states as Reagan did. But I believe Trump's victory is bigger than Reagan's for this reason. It's Donald Trump. Who God has appointed as president. And you will either say, you know what? I'm going with God. So here's the deal. This is the deal. Those five issues, you have to fight for them. Always. Here's the deal. As Christians, I don't know if you realize what just happened. Because there's this temptation to get all giddy. Hoo-hoo! Everybody likes to be on the winning team. Who doesn't? But that's not what it is. That's not what happened. I believe, it's my opinion. It's not thus saith God, I didn't see a vision. It's my opinion. I'm of this persuasion, could be dead wrong, that our nation has been going down a course. The way our nation in 8 years has offended the God of Israel by mistreating the leadership of Israel, by blocking the prosperity of the Jews. God says, you mess with my people, you mess with me. God says, you mess with them, you're poking me in the eye. America has been poking Israel in the eye. And you know what happened? We prayed and asked God for mercy. God gave grace, and here's what happened. Instead of God justifiably allowing this nation to be hit by its enemies, which he would have been completely fine to do, because we deserve it as a nation, he gave mercy. The only explanation for Donald Trump's victory is the mercy of God when he heard his people cry. And with that cry answered, we should all now, there should be a little bit of terror in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you why. God gave us, like he did Nineveh, a reprieve. It's not only the Democrat Party was completely derailed. It was not only the lifelong commitment and reason for her existence, Hillary Clinton, to be president. When she cast her vote yesterday, a reporter turned to her and said, "What does it feel like?" Present tense, to be the president of the United States. And Hillary Clinton said, "I feel so humbled and so proud." She was completely in the mindset and zone of winning. The popularity of Bill Clinton himself was judged in the voting box. But more than anything, the presidency literally of Barack Obama lands on the ash heap of history as an absolute failed presidency. Unbelievably, Obamacare will be repealed. The judges that could have been will not. Babies, unborn babies, yet unknown to God. Think about it. The Supreme Court is going to go pro-life, and unborn babies known to God will live. This is amazing. This is not human. This is not a human victory. No one could have done this. Nobody could have done this. No Donald Trump did this. This is the hand of God. And listen, this is the hand of God in your generation. You've seen it. He's starting to move. This is the hand of God. Listen, if we keep crying to him, his desire is not for America to have certain political leaders. It's not about politics. It's about doing the right thing. And God will find even a King Cyrus, a pagan worshiping Persian goofball, King Cyrus, who God called out from the craziness of his pagan world and appointed him to be a ruler to bless the nation of Israel. And God blessed Cyrus's kingdom for blessing the nation of Israel. It's happening again because it makes no sense. If you remove God from what just happened, then you're going to, listen, then you're going to be rioting in the streets of Philadelphia right now, or Portland, Oregon, or Los Angeles. Think of it. I know there's a lot of side benefits to what just happened. We've all heard that Alec Baldwin, Beyonce, and Jay-Z are moving to Canada. They said They said California should Brexit. California should break out of America and go on its own. Listen, what they don't realize is America would love to have California break off and go on its own. The San Andreas Fault could arrange that. Hey, listen, everybody. This is the hand of God. Don't miss this. You young people know this. Mark it down. You have seen the intervention of God. This is how it looks. This is how it looks. If you don't pay attention, it looks kind of natural or somehow. How did that happen? Whenever you step back and say, I can't explain this. How did that happen? He's called God. That's what's happened. And now we must hold these elected officials accountable. The amazing thing, as the months unfold, I'm going to be happy to be able to report to you, who is it that Donald Trump is appointing to these cabinet positions and all that kind of stuff? Because God has placed this church with friends in amazing places. And here's the deal. Mike Pence loves God. God said, Cyrus, I've appointed you and you don't even know me. How about Donald Trump possibly not even knowing who Jesus really is, but he's soon going to be finding out, okay? And so here's what should cause all of us to sit up straight and be extremely, almost divinely fearful. Why? Why has God done this? It doesn't change God's doctrine. Jesus could come tonight. And I hope he does. But if he doesn't, and God grants us, let's say a couple of years, let's say a year, 2 years. What if God grants us 3 years? What if God grants us 4 years? It's not to make money. Although we all did pretty well today on our 401k plan, right? The world, anyway, that's a whole other story. But it's not for that. God has spared America because of you. The church, not so that you can go to Disneyland 5 more times. No. For you to determine now to seek God for revival. That's it. That's the answer. It's for revival. God sent us a message. Don't miss it. Tell every American you know. Tell every Christian you know. Take this message if it matters. Get it out to your friends. Tell everybody you know who are especially believers. Tell them. It's not about the economy, stupid. You know, that's a famous line politically. I'm not being mean right now. That's, if you know history, that's a famous line. It's not about anything else. All that's secondary. God did what he did using a man that, if you know your Bible, would be the most unlikely person to get your attention to look at the scriptures to conclude, what's up? How could this be? He's sending the message to the world. He's sending it to the Republicans. He's sending it to the Democrats. He's sending it to everybody. This person, no one would have picked, God is saying. But I picked him for this reason, to freak all of you out. So God would get the attention. So God would be the focus, not Donald Trump. God is saying, look past the people. Look past the personality cults. God is speaking. And he's speaking to us because he wants to send revival if we seek him. So church, we need to be thinking and praying. I got a hold of Tony Perkins. Well, we were talking all night long. And I felt so impressed last night. I don't even know the answer to this. I'm sharing my heart with you. You pray. Don't tell me anything for 30 days. Until you pray about it, because my opinion is as messed up as your opinion right now. All I know is this. I looked at our poor, poor, poor state. Legalizing what it did. Pot. Criminals. Letting them go who are, it's okay, they're only rapists. Okay, unbelievable stuff. This state's nuts. And I look back, and for the first time, I must confess, for the first time in my life, I pitied my state in a good way. I pitied my state. I was happy to have been born in San Diego, proud of that. Then I lost my pride for that and just realized what a pathetic place this has turned out to be. And then I looked at it last night, watching what was going on, and I just felt this incredible thing. I don't know if it's from God or not. You can pray for me, but I just thought, wow, all these areas that voted wrong, not according to Jack, but according to God, voted wrong. And instead of me saying, dopes, knuckleheads, I just believe that we need to, I think God wants to give us a plan to get a hold of pastors in those cities, in those places, and to love on them and to go into those inner city places, to those people that are hurting, homeless, I don't know what they are, but as soon as I thought that thought, immediately the thought came into my mind, Jack, what about the rich man sitting on the corner office on Hollywood and Vine? So, Lord, I don't know how to reach them. That's God's business, how to reach them. I'm asking you to present yourself to be willing to be used by God to take on this state of California, up and down this state, to pray, to get involved. We cannot waste what God is sending us this message right now. He's saying, will you be revived? Will you do my will instead of political correctness? Will you do my will instead of what's trending? Will you obey me instead of how you feel? This is a serious moment. I shudder to think that if we fumble the ball that's been handed to us and we waste the next 2 or 3 years or year or 6 months because we feel somehow relaxed, we would have missed what God has done for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on out. I want you tonight, for this reason, we are not going to give our praise and worship to the Lord because Trump won, or maybe you're all, oh, let's praise the Lord because we can smoke pot now. Didn't God make it? You're not going to praise God for that, nor Trump. Let's do the right thing. Let's thank God that he has given us mercy, because let me tell you something. God still would have been sovereign on his throne and loving us and be equally, absolutely, eternally justified if an Iranian or Russian nuke would have hit this place an hour ago. Do you know that? Because God could have allowed judgment upon our nation. And he's paused the button for a moment. We need to find out what his orders are for us. I refuse, as long as I'm physically able to stand in front of you, I'm going to refuse to let us forget that God has given us a moment to breathe. Let's stand. Let's worship the Lord and give him thanks for his mercy. In Jesus' name, God bless you guys.